Good morning, good morning, good morning. And thank you for joining me on Friday's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and I have a very exciting show for you today. And this show is going to be different from a couple of other shows. It's going to be different because I decided to bring on a co-host today. People always talk about comedians are the kind of people that have a different perspective on the world. So when the world's saying one thing, comedians have a different take. So I have a comedian who's going to join us today, and I'll introduce him in a moment and see what he thinks. But before we do that, we're going to start off the show by asking you what I always ask you to do, and that is to go out and be an evangelist for the Roundtable Talk Show. Send a text, send an inbox, post it on your social media, send that email, whatever you need to do, even if it's going over to your roommate, shaking them, letting them know the Roundtable Talk Show is live and we are live here for you. So grab your notebook and we're gonna get started with today's show. I wanna introduce our first guest, and his story was kind of interesting. And as we can see from his backdrop, he kind of has a passion for what he does. I want to introduce Mr. Basil Nassar, who is a serial entrepreneur, and he is the founder or the two-legged creator of Boss Dog Brand. Good morning, Basil. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. How are you? Thank you for having me.
I love your backdrop. What do you have going on there?
Well, that's a Greek Lira guitar. That's from my uncle's old restaurant from about 60 years ago. I was the recipient of that, but that shouldn't be popping through. Should be just a portfolio of products at Boss Dog behind me. But once I upgrade to Carl's new app, hopefully that won't happen anymore.
You know what? I'm going to say something. And this is why I love Friday shows. And I usually do a 15-minute, introduction. So I didn't get to this part. But I should have warned you, don't be on a Friday show. Because Fridays is like, I'm off that chain. I don't even know what I'm gonna ask, but I noticed like everything in the background, you mentioned the guitar. Like, I wanted to know about your products. I want to know about Boss Dog. I see the little dogs over there and they are so adorable.
Well, I'll tell you, about 4 years ago, there were hardly any animals at this house. I think I just had a betta fish. And so it's been a kind of a personal transformation. I have three dogs, a cat, 140-pound sulcata tortoise, and we're supposed to be bringing in a peacock in a few weeks. So it's turned kind of into a menagerie of animals. As you said previously, I've been a serial entrepreneur for over 20 years. My last major project was Greek yogurt for humans. And we scaled that to a pretty sizable amount before we got out of it in 2010. And then for about 8 years, I was in the consumer sector and helped the acquiring company build a few other brands, and decided in 2018 I had enough of that and handpicked four or five of my top people, and we started Boss Dog Brand.
One of the things that I've learned, especially when I speak with serial entrepreneurs, they usually tend to have started at a young age. Were you that kid that was out mowing the lawns or had that stand, or was that always something that you've done?
I think there's some truth to that. I think I owned my first Kentucky Fried Chicken when I was 23 years old. So I started very early and then just kind of went from there and, found that I could do as well, if not better, what the people I was working for were doing. So you kind of have that realization as you go on. But yeah, you're correct. I started very early with the entrepreneurial lifestyle.
At 23, what made you decide to open a KFC? Like, how did you even get the idea or the inclination to open it well enough, the resources?
It was just I had an operations background. I had already been in a couple of plants, driving forklifts, doing combination mixes for consumer markets, and an opportunity presented itself to take an interest. That was literally the first stepping stone. I can't remember how many years ago it was. I couldn't even walk you through a detail on the whole KFC thing. It's been so long. But since then, it's just been, working for other entrepreneurs that had national or global brand visioning, and then leveraging that experience to do my own thing. So it was, I think, really in 2002 when I really had stepped out on the ledge and went out completely on my own. And it's a very sobering feeling. You're unemployed for a long time before you're employed.
Yes, I know that feeling well. I've been laid off 8 times, so yeah. The feeling of being unemployed is one that I know all too well. My dad always said, and what helped me get more in this mode, is he said, you have to stop looking at yourself as unemployed. You have to start looking at yourself as self-employed. And that was a mental shift for me that allowed me to step into everything that I'm doing right now. So with Boss Dog Brand, tell us about that. Tell us about the products.
Yeah, absolutely. So I look for what I commonly refer to as like narrow segment market entries. So I've, you know, done Greek yogurt for 20 something years. I tend to think I know a fair amount about it. So we look for a narrow segment in pet. There was not a lot of people playing in the frozen yogurt space at the time. And we went frozen because if you've ever tried to feed a dog regular yogurt, it can turn into quite a mess. So that was my entry point. I knew I couldn't build a brand just on treats and supplements alone. So in the last 18 months, we've essentially gone into 8 product segments. So we do everything from Froyo to raw goat milk to freeze dried to ancient grain based solutions. We're launching a complete meal line in about 4 weeks. We're coming out with our first tactical line. We'll be collars and leashes in about 2 weeks. And then you'll see a kibble line with ancient grains in early 2021. The basis and the strategy behind the brand is everything we do is infused with probiotics. So it comes from all of the years that I learned how to infuse dairy concepts and plant-based concepts through unique methods to get survivability. And so that's where we really stand out, functional pet foods. The pet industry isn't what we remember it as children. It's no longer a kibble and bits world. We're seeing what I commonly refer to as the premiumization of the specialty channel. Mm-hmm. And people want to start feeding, you know, raw concepts to their dogs that are more akin to the wild, and a whole variety of things. But we're not just Boss Dog. We've actually evolved and we're now Boss Family Brands, because you'll see the first introduction to Boss Cat in December of this year. So we're a multi-pillar brand company, and we're having fun doing it. You know, it's just a very challenging industry. I don't recommend it to anybody unless you don't have any fear of doing what we call up and down the street work, because you got thousands of mom-pa pet stores, and the only way to do business with them is face-to-face. You know, and in this world, obviously, it makes it extraordinarily different to make that connection. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've taken the brand into specialty channel. We're now slowly moving into e-commerce with discretion. And, you know, it's a channel strategy concept. So over the years, you'll see us move into big box and grocery and a whole variety of different places. But that's what we do at Boss Dog. And yeah, I think as long as we continue to infuse products with probiotics, we'll have consumer base to support us.
Mm-hmm. I like that. One of the things that I like the most is people with imagination have the ability to create and recreate and recreate. And so you didn't just want to launch one product, you launched entire channels. So I definitely have questions for you. I'm going to come back to you. I would love to go ahead and introduce our next guest. You know, we're talking about products and getting them out there, but also our next guest is a creator. Her focus is on helping writers, teaching them what works. She has a concierge writing firm. I want to introduce the CEO of Volo Press Books, Ms. Tanisha Curtis. Good morning, Tanisha. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. Thanks for having me.
You are so welcome. Thank you for joining us. So tell us a little bit about Volo Press Books, please.
Okay. Well, Volo Press is, just like you said, a concierge firm. So that means that we help independent authors get all the pieces of the book development process completed in a kind of an a la carte way most of the time. So maybe you've already had something developmentally edited, but now you just need copy editing, or you've written a children's book and now you just need an illustrator, or we can do the entire process for you. We've done that a couple of times, especially with children's books, because it tends to be a little bit cheaper. But yeah, we help with everything from ideation to outlining, translation, ghostwriting, the whole shebang.
Tanisha, have you seen an increase in authors since this global pandemic? Because I know two things happened. There, number one, were more people who said, I got to find some way to get more income. And then there were other people who said, I have nothing to do. I might as well write that book.
Exactly. At last calculation, our business went up a little over 400% since March. Ooh.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you. So, I do anticipate that as things start to open up, that's probably going to die down a little bit, but it was still a nice bump, you know? And that's exactly what we're here for. We're just like, you know what? I've got the time. Like, let me go ahead and get this done. We're here. And we even offer book coaching services. So even if a situation where it's like, well, I don't really want you to do it for me, I want to learn how to do it myself, I will just walk you through that process, and kind of hold your hand. So we cover and help new authors in a multitude of ways.
Do you have a focus on any specific genre?
No, we have our team is a little over 50 people, and so we have, you know, a nice diverse mix of folks. I myself am a very eclectic reader, so I read books about business, I read mysteries, I read romances, I read, you know, inspirational books. So I'm usually the kind of project manager, or what they call a managing editor for the book. So whatever services you're receiving, you know, I'll delegate it to kind of a specialist, and then I'm overseeing the project just to make sure that the quality is there and you're getting everything that you asked for, so you don't have to bother with it. My goal is always for you to sit back, relax, and we deliver a fantastic product to you at the end of the day without you having to lift a finger.
What about people who may be concerned about their ability to market it once the book is complete?
Oh, yes, that's understandable. So we help with that based on, you know, what your specific niche is, like, you know, whatever your content is all about. And so that's just part of, you know, it's just included with the services. You get that sort of consultation. Okay, well, you know, now you might want to go ahead, now that we got the cover done, you want to go ahead and start, you know, telling your mailing list, hey, it's coming, here's a sneak peek, that sort of thing, to kind of help them understand, to build up some buzz and really get ready for a nice launch.
Now, one of the things that you mentioned is that you also assist with the ideation. So that means that they don't have to come to you with the book complete. But is there
Exactly.
anything that you would want people to know, that to keep in mind on what their process would be like, so that they can determine for themselves if they want to step into it?
No, it's pretty open. You know, it's I've had books that I've written that have begun with just, you know, something I saw in the park, or like just a piece of a dream that I had, or something like that. So don't put any limitations on yourself. Just tell me what the idea is. I'm going to try to help you solidify it and create an outline, and then we can go from there. So we really do have your back. We try to make it as easy as possible so that you do as little work as possible to get your project completed.
I'm sold. Like, that last line was sold. Now I want to go write a book, because I love the whole as little work as possible. Y'all see a theme here, right? Like, my theme is, how much work do I have to do? People are
Right.
always like, Sharifa, if you could do anything, what would you do? I would sleep. Like, that's the real
Right.
dream. I'd be at night like, dear Lord, one day, can I just sleep all day, or at least to noon? I'm gonna come back to you, but I want to go ahead, introduce our next guest, who might help. Maybe I need to talk to him about some of my issues and my mentality and what I think about, and then maybe I'll want to actually leave the house. I want to introduce Mr. Carl Schallhorn, president and founder of Schallhorn Counseling LLC. He's also an author working on wellness, a practical guide to mental health. Good morning, Carl. How are you?
Hey, Sharifa, how are you today?
I'm fine. I love your backdrop.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. This is actually in my living room.
I
If
was gonna say
only.
your office. It looks more like a professional office.
I'm kidding. I'm
I
kidding.
know. I know, but it looks real. See, you talking to
No.
me, Carl. We already said I might have some mental issues, so you know what I
Well,
mean? Don't confuse me.
so in all seriousness, we know that mental health is a major issue for folks, and COVID has certainly brought that out. COVID has certainly brought that out, and people that have never experienced these problems before. So one thing that we're coming to realize is that we all need to take care of ourselves, right? And of course, our mental health certainly relates to our physical health. So people are feeling more stressed, more down, fatigued. And that relates to the mental health. And also another thing that I done, and this relates actually to Tanisha, I published another book in September
Nice.
called Leadership Through the Lens of the 12 Steps. And so that kind of takes the idea of leadership and correlates it to 12 steps of
Hey,
recovery.
yeah.
So in that book, I was able to look at each step and each process and each chapter and kind of explore how individuals are able to learn how to become better leaders and how to help them to develop the tools that they need to guide people and influence people. And so that's something that I'm actively interested in. So I'm kind of taking my mental health and addiction background, because I'm an addiction counselor, and translating that into leadership development. And it's interesting how those things correlate, because, you know, Sharifa, we're hearing a lot about leadership these days, right? That's all you hear about is leadership.
Right.
And so it's interesting timing, and I didn't plan this necessarily to be coming out as it did, but as Tanisha knows, timing is everything, right? So you know, when I published the book in September, I thought, well, this is kind of interesting timing for this conversation about leadership, and to get people to look at it differently and from a kind of a unique approach.
And what's funny, Carl, is that's what my master's degree is in addictions counseling. So,
oh, how nice.
That's hilarious. Oh man, that's cool.
So we need to talk offline.
Okay.
About my next book.
Right.
My third book.
Awesome.
What would you like people to know about this book, Carl?
Well, you know, it's interesting. So I've developed it as a tool for coaching. So one of the things I'm getting into is leadership development coaching and life coaching, but I've also developed a program to go along with it, a mastermind program. So it's a course that people can go through in a cohort. So either an organization can bring it on, or an individual can join in a way that they learn from each other. I've done this, did it actually this morning with a group. And the interesting thing is that you get people from different backgrounds, different perspectives, and we learn from each other. And this actually comes from my own personal lived experience in long-term recovery from addiction. I've been a member of a 12-step program for 32 years. And one thing I've learned is that we share with each other. We identify with each other. We learn from each other, like I said. And sometimes, like the saying goes, you take what you need and leave the rest behind. So
right.
In the program, what we do is we allow people to have the opportunity to bring their issues they're dealing with to the group, and then work through them in a way that they learn and can take something away that will help them in their role as a leader or even an aspiring leader. So it's not just for people in, as we know, leadership positions, for anyone who wants to grow to be that person and that leader they want to be.
I have so many questions today. This is fun. This is cool. I'm going to be right back to you, Carl. I'm going to introduce our next guest. And I was reading her bio. I was like, I don't even know if I can say all these words in her bio. But hey, we're going to learn today. Our next guest is an expert in personal transformation and energetics. She is the founder of the Yorgasmic Method, Ms. Karina Velasco. Good morning, Karina. How are you?
I'm so excited to be with all of you and to share a little bit of your orgasmicness, you know, which means is that life force energy that runs through us. And I don't know if it happened to you, like you become a little bit older and like engaged in errands and engaged in like to-do lists, that you stop being yourself, like something about yourself gets turns off.
Right.
So it's basically like teach you how to switch that life force energy and become creative, like become more empowered, like remind yourself of that young girl or that young man you were, full of dreams, full of hopes, with motivation, with passion, dreaming, being creative. Like sometimes the to-do list like allows us to get so engaged in what is right instead of what it's really me, what it's an expression of myself. So with the orgasmic method, I have different areas, you know, it's like a merging of personal development, teaching with energy, and also spirituality. And what I do is basically, you know, it's teaching people or allowing people to be themselves in freedom, to be authentic, to connect to their creative energy. Especially right now, I have a book called Creative Flow Dynamics. And this book is just a reminder that we're all creative, that we have the ability, that we have to cultivate our inner resources to be able to go out there and make something happen, create solutions. So it's a very interesting arena. You know, there's some words I cannot express, but we all want to feel good. We all want to feel more connected in relationships. So I teach people actually how to communicate properly with their desires, their boundaries, how to be more intimate, you know, in their relationship. And I also do a lot of healing. You know, I have this technique called energy momentum healing, which I treat the body in a holistic manner. I come from a background from, I'm a natural food chef, a health coach. I worked in media for 20 years as well. But at 9 years old, I started to go to kinesthetic and energy work and doing Reiki since I'm like 9 years old. So what I did is like a merging of all this to support people for their energy to flow. And what does that mean? Sometimes where our focus goes, our energy goes. So if I'm focused on what's wrong in my life, what's wrong with myself, I don't want this, I don't want that, like in that negative realm, I forget a lot about myself and my energy gets depleted. So what I teach you at the Yorgasmic Method and also with energy momentum is to gather all that energy to build and create the world that you really want and deserve.
Oh, wow. That was wonderful. Like, you are good because you answer every question I had before I could even get to it. Because I'm like, what does that mean? What does that look like? Because at the beginning, it was like, okay, that sounds good. It sounds, but what is the actual technique? And you was like, and then the technique I use, I was like, okay, all right. She answered that. You answered that. That was good. Okay. So how do you do that virtually now in this environment? I'm pretty sure, you know, with Reiki and those different things, it's typically been hands-on. So what have you been doing during this global pandemic?
Well, I do a lot of personal coaching because I go deep into the body wisdom. So I think it's valuable to understand what's happening with me, with my process, the root of the trauma. But what I do is I go directly to the body wisdom. I believe that the body has everything to heal itself. So we need to guide somebody into that state of deep relaxation where they can allow their own energy to heal themselves and to get that realization of what's really going on. What was that trauma when you were a young person that's creating that overweight, for example? Or what's that trauma that's not allowing you to be in a partnership, or you have fear to be with that partner? So I go a little bit through that. And as well, energy has no space and time. So I actually do energy sessions via Zoom, and it's wonderful. And some of my clients at the beginning were like, oh, I'm going to feel great. Like, you're going to do some like healing and facilitating energy to move via Zoom. And I'm like, yes, because energy has no time and space. So it's been fun for me because it allowed me also to go deeper into my skills and polish the ability to move energy in a long distance manner. And my clients are just like beyond, like they want to learn, because I also have like little tricks that you can play with your partner. So if you're in a relationship, you can use that energy and build that like life force, sexy energy to create that connection with the person you're with. Or for example, I have a niece, she lives in Spain. She's 11 years old. And she was like, I miss you so much. I want a hug. And I was like, I'm going to send you an energy hug. So I, you know, send her a big hug, pulled my energy to my heart, just send her all my love. And she was like, I actually feel you're hugging me, auntie. So it's lovely. And I just love to share this because, I mean, for me at the end, I want everybody to feel good and to know that we have the inner resources to go through and break through all these challenges, and that we are creative beings, that we can find solutions and, you know, share ourselves and express ourselves in a very unique way.
I think that is beautiful, beautiful. I'll be back right back with you. I want to go ahead and introduce our co-host for today's show. He's a veteran, and he also is a comedian who specializes in healing through laughter. So he's a healer as well, Mr. Michael J. Moody. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are y'all doing today?
I'm excited. We done introduced all the guests. Tell us about yourself.
Okay. Well, name's Michael Moody. Go by MJ Moody. That's my middle initial. I'm not going to tell you what that J is. You got to figure it out. Come to the show. You'll figure it out. Got into comedy.
Michael got jokes. I think it's jokes.
What's that?
I think it's jokes.
I wish it was jokes. It's not jokes. It's actually, I'll tell you guys. We're family now, I'll tell you. It's actually Jackson. Michael Jackson. I had to grow up with the middle name Jackson.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know how irritating that was to grow up with that? And that when I was graduating from high school, nobody knew this name. So I made sure I lined out Jackson because I didn't want Michael Jackson to be said. That's going to take all the attention. And sure enough, they was like, graduating with honors, Michael Jackson. And they paused. Everybody looked up and they said, Moody, oh, just him. So
you're not Michael Jackson.
It's just him. But you know, overseas though, the ladies love Michael Jackson. So when they found out my name was that, they were like, You know Michael Jackson? Like, well, I know him a little bit, you know.
I know Thriller.
It's like I can dance to him, you know. But I was spent 23 years in the Navy. While I was in the Navy, I used to write a lot. I didn't know comedy was going to be my calling, but I used to always write and just always take notes and stuff. You know, of course, you hear people say, hey, man, you're funny. You should get on stage. I wrote myself a letter in 1993. And it's funny that when I retired, I found this letter I wrote myself in 1993 about testing my calling and wondering if this is a God-given gift. And one day I'm going to get on stage. And my family's like, you have no excuse now. You're not in the Navy. What you going to do? So I met a friend that I worked at, his name is David Emmanuel. He was doing comedy and he offered me a spot. He said, I'll give you 5 minutes if you wanna get on stage. So I didn't invite anybody. So I was like, you know what, I'm gonna go up here, it's just gonna be between me and God. If I bomb, you know, I'm done with this. So I got on stage, I wrote some stuff. I had bought a book called The Comedy Bible, studied it, got on stage, did 5 minutes and they loved it. And they asked me to come back and they'll pay me. I'm like, wait, you can get paid doing this? And so, did a show, invited my family. This is in Jacksonville, Florida. I did a show, invited my family. Of course, did well. I posted a video on YouTube. I started making DVDs. And this is my first show now, right? I'm thinking I'm the next Kevin Hart. Not. So I done purchased these DVDs. I moved to Dallas. I started giving these DVDs to comedy clubs and everything, thinking I'm the ish. And it was garbage. It was good material, but still, certain things you can't fake. You can't fake authenticity and you can't fake mannerisms. You gotta get comfortable on stage. So even though I had the funny, I didn't have the professional swag. You gotta have that confidence. You gotta have that eye connection. And so as I started doing comedy in Dallas, I bombed a couple times. I got humbled. And I watched that same YouTube video I put up after 2 years and I removed that YouTube video because it wasn't ready, because any bookers that would have saw that, like, he's garbage. But it was a great learning experience. And so I got good here and ended up started getting booked by the comedy clubs here at the Improv and opened up for some terrific guys and you know, at the Improv and the Hyenas, and it's been kind of a fun journey.
Okay, so what questions did you have for our guest today, Michael?
Oh, I got some questions. I got Basil. I got the first question for you. So I was taking down notes now. For every success story, we have a failure story. And I think the best lessons come from failure. So what's some of the fails that you had? Some of the fails you had in life that got you to the point where you learned something and made it click for you?
I can sum it up in one word. Moonshine.
Moonshine. Ooh, that's okay. A story.
I got an idea. Remember when that show came out on the Discovery Channel?
Yes.
I got an idea, I can do that, honey. So I flew myself to Georgia and I spent some time with a gentleman who was 98 years old, him and his brother. And they were old bootleg moonshiners and they put up a couple million bucks, got a federal tax stamp to liquor whiskey. And I was only supposed to be there for a couple days. I ended up staying for about a month and a half and we launched a moonshine concept. I couldn't have missed that further than I did. I mean, it was priced wrong, the packaging was off. And so I'm known as the, for the holidays, you're gonna get a bottle of moonshine from Basil because I got a whole attic full of that stuff. But that was definitely one of my failures I learned a lot of things from.
Excellent question.
So are you making moonshine still now? Or that's something?
Long out of that, yeah.
So I can't pick up nothing at 7-Eleven, like some old watered down, bad dog.
Send you some for the holidays, though.
All right.
That's a great name. I love Karina, it. I would love some moonshine.
Karina, I'm saving you for last. I got a good question for you.
I got a question. I just got to ask a question about this moonshine because Only because you mentioned it, but you said, I mentioned to my wife. So like, did this cost you an expensive gift with your wife after all this moonshine? Because I know she was like, I tried to tell you, honey.
Yeah, no, she was used to that at the time. I'm liable to pop off on any project at any given time, but that was definitely one where I took a detour and it was the wrong road.
yeah. MJ.
All right. Make sure I say your name right, Tanisha. Did I say that right? Bolo. Oh, is she on mute? Can you hear me? It's Tanisha, right?
Yes, Tanisha.
Tanisha, can you hear me?
Curtis, are you with us, Tanisha?
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. Okay. Y'all blanked out for a second.
Uh-oh.
Okay, right. I can hear you now.
Okay. Now your face is still paused, but okay, I see you now. I got a question for you. So with your book writing and editing, and you seem very helpful and very, very in tune and stuff, have you ever got somebody that gave you some stuff that you had to work on, but you knew it was garbage, but you didn't know how to tell them it was garbage? So you're in charge of editing this book. How do you handle that situation? Well, I submitted you a book and you know it's going to get probably one sale, probably from their mama. Their mama, the only one that's going to buy that book, you know it's garbage. How do you handle that situation?
The title will ruin your reputation, Tanisha.
Okay, so first of all, that is my job to make it not garbage. So that's kind of on me. And pretty much no matter what you hand an editor, they can turn it into something that has value for the reader. So no, you know, I haven't run into a situation where I was like, no, get this away from me. I can't do nothing with this. You know what I mean? Like, there's just certain, what do you want to say? Like tropes, you know, and patterns that you follow with books that are already selling well. And so what you do is you take that idea and you just kind of stuff it into that, that format. And then you still end up okay. Like, I had it happen with the guy, it's a similar situation. Like I said, it wasn't garbage. It's just that people have great book ideas, but that doesn't mean that they're talented writers or even communicators, right? So it was like he handed me a mass of thoughts, which is great.
Fix it.
I don't know what happened. We lost Tanisha again. This is the most interesting. Tanisha, can you hear me?
She's still going too. She's
I don't know. Ask your next question, MJ.
What is teach me? And it didn't take, it took maybe 2 or 3 months and we got there and it was fine. And it came out really good and he was proud of it. I was proud of it. It was totally fine. So it can be work. But again, if you're hiring a professional, that's their job. You know what I mean? That's totally the point. Give your editor a turd to polish, right?
Gotcha.
What was so hilarious, Tanisha, was that when you were speaking and you said, this guy gave me something and it wasn't garbage, but, and so I'm thinking, like, I hope this guy's not watching this show because he's going to recognize it. And then all of a sudden, it was like the show was bleeped out. It was like, bleep. I was like, they didn't want that.
That's karma.
MJ, ask your next question.
Okay, all right. This next one is for you, Mr. Carl, Mr. Mental Health Expert. So I've been in therapy for about 4 years, and I'm loving it. I have a great counselor. She keeps it real. But I remember one time I was talking to her about an issue, and as I'm talking to her, it was video, she seemed to, like, doze off. I'm serious. I'm like, am I boring this woman? But then I said something and she kind of like, and repeated something I said to her like 30 minutes ago. She's like, yeah, but what that got to do with you leaving the house? I'm like, I'm on subject number 5.
Wow.
So what I'm going to ask you, Carl, do mental health experts have bad days where you just like, I'm really not listening to this helpful right now. I'm just, are you budgeting your checkbook? You just really not in tune to what they're saying. Be honest with me.
So, counselors, therapists, clinicians, psychiatrists, psychologists, we're people too.
Okay.
We have bad days. We have sleepless nights. We have our own issues.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm being real. So, sure. But you know, that's interesting you say that because I've heard of that before. I've heard of those things before. And I've worked as a clinician. I've worked as a counselor. And I've had days where they're maybe not my best day. But you know what though? That's not a good practice. If someone is, you know, doing that on a regular basis, or if your therapist is doing it regularly, maybe you need to find a new therapist.
Yeah.
Because obviously they're not taking care of themselves. And I'm a full believer in self-care. So I need to bring my A game. You know, Tanish, you know this from your background. I need to, when I'm meeting with someone, I need to be present. I need to be attentive. And for me to help you, I need to be alert and aware. And so for that person to be dozing off, yeah, that maybe happened the one time. I get it. But that shouldn't be a regular thing. So, and actually, you can call them out on it.
I do. What I learned now when I'm talking, I just clap every 5 minutes. I'm like, so what happened? I just clap every 9 minutes. And so they kind of get her.
Lord, oh my goodness.
When I realized they were people, I have a really good friend, and this is honest to God truth. She watches my show every day, so I hope she's not watching this show. But we went to high school together, and I love her, and we hang out. We really close. Not one of those Facebook friends you ain't seen since high school, but we are close. And she is a therapist. And some of the stuff she does, I'm like, you a therapist? Like, how do you, are you a therapist? Like, you know what I mean? Like, all her issues. Sorry.
Yep.
No, but like I said, you know, we're people too. We're people too. Right. And that's the thing too. So I'll just say real quickly, and Michael, I'll turn it back over to you. But when we were with our friends and our family, you know, like anybody else, you get it raw, right? And of course, unfiltered. And certainly this is a time when, you know, and then certainly, let me say, I didn't share personal information about, you know, people I work with, clients, whatever, but you can still be yourself. And sometimes you just gotta let that guard down. Now, I'm obviously not in a professional situation, but when you're around your friends, like you said, so like your friend Sharifa, that's a good thing that she could be that way around you.
No, it's not. Because it's not her being that way around me. It's like, I know her issues, you know what I mean? Like, I know the things she's done. I know how drunk she gets on certain nights. I know.
Well, that's a different story. That's a different story.
Relationships she has. I'm like, you advising me?
I have a same type. I have a same type friend. I'm like, my counselor needs a counselor.
Right. So I'm like, I hope these people not listening to you.
You don't smoke that right now?
Right. Exactly.
Well, many therapists have therapists. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Makes sense. Next. Okay. Next. Thank you, Carl. I hope you didn't take offense to my question.
Nope. Not a bit.
All right. Okay. next is Karina. The title of your book had me for a loop. That book's going to sell because you say orgasmic, and I think everybody's mind goes to that line of thinking. So when you say orgasmic, is that the climax of your book? Y'all see what I did? Play with words on that. let's call that cerebral comedy. So does it include that type of stuff in there, like self-care and all that stuff? I heard you kind of talk over it. I know it's probably a rated G, PG show. So
8 a.m., yes.
Yeah. No, I mean, but it's definitely like that life that we have inside of us, you know, and we forget we have that light, which is like that passion, that motivation, that thing that like allows us to wake up in the morning and look ourselves in the mirror and says like, I'm going to go out there and like rule the world, you know? So it's that energy that is within us. What I discover is that we can also transform and heal with pleasure, not only with suffering, not only, you know, like with a lot of effort, like no pain, no gain. No, I believe that with pleasure, we can actually heal and transform and gain insights. And I think we've been so disconnected with the sources of pleasure in our life. We're connected with what's our sources of suffering, but not our sources of pleasure. So if we tune into that every day, it makes us feel good. You know, and it's not related to sexuality, you know, it's related to life. It's related to like watching a sunset or like eating like consciously with awareness, like a beautiful piece of chocolate cake or a mango, and just allowing yourself to tap in with pleasure and know we deserve pleasure because we forget that. And of course, that extends to your romantic relationship, which is pretty awesome too.
So basically what you're getting at is that our body has its own way of, we have our own way of creating endorphins and serotonin release within ourselves. Exactly. Just learning how to release that. A lot of times I know that for his mental health, people tend to lean on something. Like when I started comedy, somebody told me something. They said, don't start any habit that you're going to be addicted to. And that was so true, because if somebody drinks alcohol and they does and they do well, they say, well, I got to drink that same thing I did to keep that same momentum. And then they elevate it. Next thing you know, they got to try something else and try something else. And so it's like you have that power within yourself. It's just being able to release it. And so I guess that's what you're getting at, about being able to bring out those different things that you have in your body already to have it.
Exactly. Correct? Instead of like drinking or doing addiction, like you understand nature gives you everything to activate your that dopamine and serotonin and oxytocin and make you feel good about yourself, because the brain is a pleasure center. So if yeah. I tap more into that, you know, I can like begin to live more naturally with more awareness in a healthier manner. And with pleasure and joy and laughter, I think those are the like the best medicines after love.
So why don't we get with you on your orgasmic, and we get with Carl, not Carl, get with Basil, and with his moonshine, we figure out a way to get that orgasmic in a bottle.
I know. I was like, I would totally have like an orgasmic moonlight like drink.
Orgasmic moonshine. I think that would be a hit.
That would be amazing.
Sharifa, you ain't on it? You don't think it would sell?
We just created a whole new product on the Roundtable Talk Show this morning. This is why people tune in to this show. Before this show, we never had your Gasmic Moonshine. Today, we're bringing it to you for the low, low price of $49.99.
And remember, I'll have what she's having.
Yes, yes, yes. I love that. Any other questions?
And we have Carl
asking questions.
I'm sorry.
Would you say?
I'm already liking the fact that I can blame Karina every time my wife asks me to take the garbage out. I say, no, honey, I'm working on my pleasure principle. We get blamed for that tonight.
Yes. But see, Carl, one of the great things is this laughter helps with mental health. And that's what I believe people need in there this world. Go. That's why I always put on
absolutely.
My comedy shows. And my comedy shows, my brand is Laughter Heals. And that's what I need to do, a new show for the global pandemic. But wouldn't you think so, Carl?
Oh, absolutely. So, and I know laughter is certainly the best medicine in a lot of cases. And it's certainly now we're in a time that people are just so stressed. In fact, I encourage people to take time to, you know, watch a funny TV show or watch a funny movie. That's what I do. And you know, it's a healthy distraction. Right now, I'm not telling you to binge for 12 hours on Netflix at a time. Right.
I do. I just wanted to share that.
Well,
I do.
You're special.
No, I am special, but you know why I do that? I do. I honestly do. And when I first started doing that around, because I launched the show on March 30th, and I found myself doing that like around April or May or something. And then I told myself, I said, Sharifa, you cannot just lay here all day and watch Netflix.
Yes, you
did. The other Sharifa was like, Sharifa, dude, it's Saturday. And I was like, okay, cool. And then I watched my movie.
See? Well, like I said, that within limits, but I'm saying though, it's a good thing though to have that, because that's a healthy distraction, which I think we all need, especially these days with things being so heavy. And I mean, I enjoy that. So I always encourage people to find something. This is kind of tying with what Karina's saying. You know, finding something that's pleasurable, finding something that you enjoy, because when you do that, it does, your brain does react and it produces these sensations that in many ways you can't get from anything else. And so when you're laughing, it's a very natural, healthy thing to do. We just need more things to laugh at these days because things are so serious.
And also I would like to add on to what you're saying, you know, what I do is like a laughter meditation, because instead of using laughter as a distraction, you can actually create a little ritual and just start laughing at yourself. Like even if you fake it, you make it, you know, and just like, ha ha, ha ha, and just like start laughing. And I do that in groups and it's amazing because we're laughing at nothing. We're laughing just like for the sake of laughing. And it's
can you
really
show us that? I need to see that in work, not just the haha. Like I need to see that.
Haha. I'm sorry. I just get like, yeah, it's really easy. You see?
Yeah, it's infectious. I didn't realize like at comedy clubs, The reason why they set you close, because laughter is infectious. And so you see people all close in together, it's because they're trying to make that where it catches on. Because sometimes you'll hear something, it's like, well, that wasn't really that funny to me. But you see other people laughing, so you blend in and it catches on. Just like the Tickle Me Elmo doll. You hear it laughing, and all of a sudden you start laughing. It's because that can't, because it's addicting. And so laughter does, and it's no better feeling than I get is when I get off stage and somebody says to me, thank you for taking my mind off the issues I had. And that's why I try not to do politics on stage, because people want to get away. They want to just try and stay away from that stuff. They just want to hear something. They want to go on a journey that doesn't involve them and just kind of go on that trip.
Oh, yeah.
You think you can make that connection with your audience in this world? Because I know, like, there's a couple guys that, you know, are comedians that are strictly online that also do the stage performance, but a lot of y'all that probably rely on having that audience in front of you, it's got to be difficult.
It's difficult online because there's a delayed reaction. And yeah. So I've done a few online shows, and I just wait for the pause, because you all know your time, you know, it's about timing. And once you know your timing, you just wait for them to kind of, you give it, you stop, and you look for the reaction. If they don't react, you just kind of comment on it. Well, that didn't work. And you make a funny out of a non-funny. It's like, well, I guess I got to rewrite that joke. And you create a laughter within that structure, and then you keep it moving. And so, yeah, it's a little awkward, but it's a lucrative thing. A lot of people are doing it.
And I was just going to say, speaking of distractions, oh, sorry.
No, I was saying, Tanisha, you were going to say something.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I think that probably contributed a little bit as well. You know, not only the fact that, hey, to our growth these past several months, not only, you know, do I now have the time, or now I'm looking for another avenue for income, but also I got to get away from what I'm seeing on the news every day. I got to distract myself from the fact that I'm stuck in the house and I'm like extroverted, and I want to be out and about with my friends and my family. Like, because for me growing up, that's what reading was. It was a great distraction. It was a whole new world I could dive into and check in with these characters. Well, if it was well-written, I guess I should say, and really get immersed, you know, in the book. And so I think I just thought of that as you all were talking about distractions. I'm like, well, that's a whole other reason that more people might be pushing to do this, because it's just the writing process can be so consuming that, you know, they can really get into it and just everything else just kind of gets blotted out.
But I recommend it. I think writing is a great therapy, and it allows you to feel. And, you know, I published some books, so I appreciate your work. And, you know, it's time. Like, if you have a chance, like, to read, we forget about reading. We don't have time. And reading is just like a holistic experience. Like, sometimes when we watch something on TV, we kind of like look at it. But when we read, it's kind of like you're there, like you're one of the characters. Like, that's the beauty about reading. So for me, reading is also therapeutical, where I feel like nervous or anxious, like to go there and read a good book and just like let your imagination flow.
Oh, yeah.
And I started blogging, you know, back, geez, man, like in the early, well, I started journaling, I should say, in the 80s when I was going through my own issues. And then as time went on, I started blogging, you know, probably about 2006, 2007, and that evolved. I blogged for a couple of publications, and then, you know, it evolved. In fact, I blog still right now through my church denomination. We have a blog called The Journey, the United Church of Christ, and it's all mental health related, and it's related to spirituality and all that. But you're right, Karina. I think writing, it can be very therapeutic, and I recommend that a lot of times to people, because in the end, it's just another way of getting your feelings out. And I found too, the great thing about writing and journaling is that no one else has to see it. No one else has to read it. Doesn't matter, you know, what grammar you use. So it's a good thing to do. It's healthy.
It is. It's on a serious note. I went through a divorce, 20 year, married 20 years, went through a divorce, and journaling is powerful because I journal things, and it serves as a reference. You don't realize it, but like you'll go through a depression point. And I would look at the date, like, whoa, this is the anniversary, because your body remembers. And you look at the date and it's a reference, like, okay, I remember on this date, this happened. This is why I'm feeling like this. It's the anniversary because my body remembered. I didn't mentally remember, my body did. And it makes you feel normal. It's like, okay, this is what I'm going through. Ride the process out.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And it's so interesting you mentioned, sorry about the body, like, because that's what I do in my personal coaching. It's like you say, you have the reference point, but it stays in your body. But what can I do to get it out of your body? And using pleasure and laughter and joy to do that, you know?
Yes, yes.
That is wonderful. So Tanisha, were you one of those kids that was reading the books and then you went, I could have wrote this better, or I would have wrote this way, or I would have?
No, not right. It wasn't like a competitive thing. It was just the way my mind works and how entranced I could get in a story. That fascinated me, just the psychology of it. Well, I got the master's degree, right? So so that just fascinated me. So I started to think, well, you know, because I did keep a journal. I've been keeping a journal since I was like 5, 6, like since I learned how to write, you know? And so I was like, well, I wonder if I could write a story. You know, I've got some ideas. And so I just started doing it, you know? So it was just wanting to be part of that process and be able to create something that I enjoyed so much, you know, saying, like, if you really love cars, to be able to build your own car is probably pretty awesome, you know. So yeah, it's just kind of like that for me.
Okay, that's what this is for me. I really love to talk. I don't know if y'all can tell, but that's why I'm here today. I just love to talk. I love to ask questions. I love to learn. That's what gets me going and what gives me pleasure. Now, we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. I truly enjoy MJ, your questions. I laughed. You are hilarious just with your questions, but it proved my point that the way your mind works, the thought process, I would have never thought to ask those questions. And I don't think any of the guests expected those questions, but they were
wonderful. I was taking notes. I was writing as you was intro. You was a great intro. I was writing down notes as you was talking.
Mm-hmm. See, but that's great. That's the way your mind works. So what I do at the end of every show is I just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives, and simply let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're gonna start with you, Carl.
Well, certainly I wanna let people know that, first, and I say this all the time, that recovery is possible. So if you find yourself struggling with your mental health, know that you can get better and you can get through it, that feelings are temporary. If you're feeling suicidal, if you're in the United States, call the Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK. And on a different note, you can follow me on LinkedIn. You can go to my website at shallhornconsulting.com, and my books are available on Amazon. So just go to Amazon, put my name in the search engine, and you'll find my books. And I encourage you to do that because I think, like I said, my approach to leadership is pretty interesting and unique. And I think if you're looking to improve your life like that, I can help.
Yes. Tanisha, what do you have for us?
Yeah, I just want to let people know, yes, you know, if you want to write a book, it's something that you've been thinking about for a while, whether it's your personal life story, fiction, or we have a lot of business owners who want to write a book that they may even give away for free as part of their marketing. We can help you with all of that. And it starts as low as $100, just depending on the project. So please get in touch. I got my little, all right, bolopressbooks.com. Give us a call. We're at Bolo Press Books, and we'll try to help you out as quickly and cheaply
as we
can.
We will help them out. We don't try.
I'm sorry. My apologies.
We'll
yes,
help
ma'am.
Them out. Yes. Karina, what do you have for us?
Well, for you, first of all, I want you to take 2 full deep breaths and just remember the gratitude of being alive, being healthy, being with your family, and having all those inner resources within you that you can use to be creative, to find solutions, to find peace, and to feel good about yourself. Just remember that. And if you are curious to know more about my work, you can go to karinavelasco.com or yourgasmic.com, following me on Instagram at Kari Velasco and at yourgasmic. And check out my sessions. You know, I'm really passionate about supporting people. And I think in this pandemic, it's a beautiful opportunity also to dive deep into yourself, to discover your inner resources, your gifts, your attributes, and use them. Like, if we want to change the world, like literally, I'm not saying it kind of Miss Universe kind of thing, but literally, if we want to change the world, we need to start with ourselves and really go into the community and co-create and have better relationships and healthier relationship, not just with our family and kids, but with everybody we bump to on the street. So a little more kindness.
That is so wonderful. A little more kindness. Thank you, Karina. Basil.
Well, I just thank everybody for watching today. You know, for those of you that have pets and you're concerned about either digestive health benefits or getting quality premium food, check us out at Boss Dog Brand or follow us at Boss Dog Brand. But I think outside of that, I've been really impressed with all the guests today. I have a ton of questions for everybody, and I'd like to know what the best way is to forward them. I know, Tanisha, I have at least three book questions I'd like to ask you. Should we just go to the websites?
I'll take care of it for you. I'll make that happen for you. I don't always do it, but when I have some great shows, I make those introductions. MJ, go ahead and take us on out.
Okay, I got a public service announcement. Make sure when you type in Karina's name, you don't type in the other words she said. It'll take you to a whole nother website. So don't do what I just did. So Karina, plug yourself one more time with the correct address, because I got to clean up my cookies.
Yeah, KarinaVelasco.com, and it's Yorgasmic, like yogurt.
Okay. I typed in the wrong one. All right.
Yorgasmic, like yogurt.
I got some cleaning on my phone. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Sorry. You're going to have to do some explaining. Baby, what happened was.
What are you doing popping up on my phone?
Thanks for explaining that.
I got distracted. But forgive me.
But you look happy. Right. You look happy. That worked.
Right. Pleasure,
right? Pleasure. Where did I lose control? Go ahead.
Thanks for having me, everybody. Awesome. I would love to stay in contact and learn more about everybody. Remember, you are not your thoughts. At the end of the day, it's okay to be not okay, because we all get moody. Plug, you can look me up at mjmoodycomedy.com, Facebook and Instagram. I'm in Dallas. I go all over the place. I do private shows. So just look me up if you want to have a show.
Hey, MJ, didn't get to ask you this question, but with respect to comedians, who's the GOAT in your mind?
Ooh, man. I would have to say right now, I love what Dave Chappelle does. He does a lot of cerebral comedy. I love smart comedy. Dave Chappelle, it's some other great.
Past or present.
Richard Pryor, Eddie Murphy, it's a lot of, Ronaldo Ray. A lot of people don't know Ronaldo Ray, but I like a lot of the old school.
I was watching some of that Eddie Murphy old stuff the other day. I'm not sure he could say some of that on stage anymore.
No, he got in trouble for a lot of the things he said in Raw. I love comedy. I grew up on that. That's why I do the Laughter Hills comedy shows. This has been a very, very great show. MJ, you stepped up and delivered in a way that I could never have expected and dreamed. But I do love when I just say, you know what? Let's see if this will be fun. So I want to thank you all for joining me on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. And I also want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch the show live, as well as everyone who is watching the show in the archives. Just because you didn't watch the live show doesn't mean you are not important. We still want you to go ahead and support the show, support our guests, go ahead and share the show, whether you're watching it today, 5 days from now, or 5 years from now. It doesn't matter. Visit our guests, go to their websites, pick up a copy of their book, find out what makes you have fun in the world, and remember always to love. Now, if you're interested in finding out more ways where I can help your business, or maybe you want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, visit the website at asharifa.com. Until Monday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.